Okay, so we just had a great fellowship. Everyone shared their hearts and God was working. And now I'm going to hand it over to Kim Bosabi, who's going to do the teaching. Kim.
Okay, well, God bless you all. If you'd like to take your Bibles, and we are going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And obviously this year Lawrence has given us a great theme, newness of life. And I don't know, but every year it becomes January the 1st and I do feel new. It's like last year, done and dusted, and this is the start of a fresh new day and a fresh new year. And it reminds me of the day I got born again, actually, when I confessed Romans 10, 9 and 10. But we're going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 22 it says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, now it tells us, there's always, you know, God's always reminding us what we're to do and what we're not to do. And that you put, oh sorry, 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamour and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And, in contrast to all the above, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, the new man, when you do that very last verse, you're walking in humility. And the new man is all about humility. The old man is all about pride. You know, when you were born, you were born and raised to have pride. You were never ever born and raised to have humility. In a world in which we live in today, pride is the thing that's out there in the world. Everybody has pride. Everybody wants to be the best. Everyone wants to say, oh, look at me. I'm great in my field of whatever it is they're in their field of, whether it's teaching, whether it's a policeman, whether it's a counsellor, whether it's a social worker. Everybody wants to be the best at what they do. And that's pride. But it's only when you get born again that you realise what humility is. And then that Christ in you really, really does produce humility. You know, don't forget what Jesus Christ said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He was humble. He never ever didn't listen to God. He always listened to God. He had that humility. He knew that God was the one that would see him through, that he could rely on God. Jesus Christ had no ounce of pride in him whatsoever. And he had the rights to be prideful too, but he didn't. He kept humble. So the new man is humility. That humility comes when you keep going to God, when you bring God into your day, when you look to God. That humility resides in that spirit. Pride has no place in a born again believer. If you are a new man, you are a new creation in Christ, there is no room for pride. 1 John, let's take a look. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John. First John chapter 2 and in verse 16 it says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And sometimes, you know, I'm a very practical person, so when I teach, I like to be able to back it up. And if the word says it, that's good enough for me. So for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Proverbs chapter 16. I love Proverbs, it's so comforting. And you know, when you're having a tough time yourself, Psalms and Proverbs is always a comfort. 16 and in verse 8 it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. 19, but it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know, it's quite easy to be prideful, not quite so easy to be humble. And if humble is where we need to be, then we really do need to connect back to God and let that new man really shine now. That we know that the new man is humility, that we need to get humble, first and foremost with ourselves, and then humble to God. For what God wrought through Christ Jesus, that's where we are today and who we are today. With that Christ in us, we are a new creation and we should shine as lights. And it's been mentioned many times in the sharings tonight that the world is very dark. Pride is dark. Humility is light. And we are the lights of this world and we're not to hide our lights. Let's see what the new man is. Proverbs chapter 15. And in verse 33 it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honour is humility. And when I read this, it just reminded me, you know, that when you're a child, you don't have much wisdom. You know, I see little Maya running around and she's full of the joys of spring. She just loves life. She loves her mummy, her daddy, her nana and her granddad. But there's no wisdom. It's yet to be taught. And wisdom comes with age. And then it says, and before honour is humility. Yes. So we know that as we grow in that new man, pride falls off, humility comes on, and the wisdom of God through Christ in us will help us to transform the pride into humility. Each day is a new day, and as we continue to step out in our faith, because nothing pleases God but the faith, it teaches us that we need to take a stand against the world and what the world has to offer. Gospel of John, we're going to go to chapter 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Now, some people don't like it when we take a stand. And there's a lot of doctrines out there, a lot of teachers out there. But there's only one true teacher, and that's God and Jesus Christ. Amen. And we may have itching ears. We may need that, you know, the teacher that's teaching us isn't teaching what we want to hear. So we'll look somewhere else. Well, that's very prideful, because God places us in the body where it pleases him. Amen. And unfortunately, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you're one of those people that have itching ears and you need to go and hear from some other teacher, then you need to, you know, take a little bit of humility, turn to God and get rid of your pride, because God is the one that teaches us. God is the one that leads us and guides us. It's not down to one person. Not one man can get blamed for your insecurities or your pridefulness. God, if you believed Romans 10, 9 and 10, then you believe that you've got Christ in you. Then you believe that God can show you via the Spirit that lives and dwells in you. Doesn't need to take another teacher to show us. John chapter 13 and in verse 34 it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Well, this was the first and great commandment. Well, sorry, second part. But the first and great commandment was that you love God. And then you love your neighbour. Well, your neighbours are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think it was mentioned again tonight with Nancy. You know, love is the greatest key to humility. That we love one another. That we are a body of Christ. That we encourage one another. It's not about the doctrine. It's about the Christ in you. That you live those commandments. That you love God and you love your neighbour no matter what. Put your differences aside. You know, it's the adversary that comes in to steal, kill and destroy. He comes in to break up the body of Christ. But with humility, it's very easy to love one another. Romans chapter 12, just over a couple of books. Romans 12 and in verse 10 it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another." You know, there's not one person better than the other. That God has given us all the enablements we need to really have a great relationship with Him. Him first. And then with Christ dwelling in us, that we can be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another. So in other words, we don't... You know, I'm not better than you guys. And in respect to that, you're not better than me. That God has given us, as a body, everything that we need to be able to be humble, to walk in love, to encourage one another, to support one another. You know, like Nancy was saying, you know, I've seen Lawrence up at 3 o'clock in the morning ministering to someone. And like, there are great tools out there, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or a phone call. You know, that what we do in secret, God blesses us openly. And I'm really thankful for the humble man that God's given me. That Lawrence has never ever promoted him, himself, or what he does. But I do know that he's up into the early hours of the morning, ministering, praying for people, that his heart for God and for God's people is just pure humble. Galatians chapter 5. You know, when we get into a relationship with God and that relationship is so fruitful and you get so blessed, that time goes so fast. It says in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 13, it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And that's what he does. He serves. He serves with all his heart, soul, mind and strength. And he's never ever called unto liberty. He's free in what he does, and no man or woman will stop him, because he goes to God and God leads and directs him. And a great example for me as a wife to follow. You know, we don't use liberty as an occasion to the flesh either. Just because we're free, it doesn't mean that we can continue to, you know, go here, go there, search this teacher, search that teacher. The only teacher we really do need is God and that Christ in us that leads and guides us. 1 Thessalonians, over a couple of books again. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4 and in verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God." That just... it literates what I've just been saying, that we are taught of God, first and foremost, to love one another. There are things I want to say and I can't say. I want the word to say it all. That it is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, not man. Hebrews chapter 10. And this is a bit of a long one here. I could never quote this if I wanted to right now, so I'm going to read it word for word. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. No, that wasn't Lawrence. From henceforth, it was a joke though. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. We all know we're talking about Jesus Christ here. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wow. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. In their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, man, it just blows me. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. The laws was to love God and to love your neighbour. He has put that into your hearts and in their minds. In your mind right now, you should be loving God and loving each other. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. If you sin today, I guarantee that God does not remember it. Now, in verse 18, where remission of these is there no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. See, Christ is coming back. When, I don't know, but with the world and the way it's going right now, it could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be soon. Doesn't give us the time and the hour. But on note to that, we should not forsake the assembling, you know, the body of Christ coming together, supporting one another, encouraging one another, praying together, loving one another. Now, if you're not doing these things and you're putting yourself in a pocket where you're on your own, it's a very dangerous place to be, because there's strength in a multitude of counselors. The body of Christ should be real tight right now. Shouldn't be with divisions. Shouldn't be with itching ears. It shouldn't be with backbiters. It shouldn't be with, you know, haters. Shouldn't be people with pride. The word of God gives us a clear path on the way to walk. And that is within the new man, that Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. When we walk with God, who is our teacher, with that Christ in us, leading us by that Spirit that Christ made available. If Christ forgave them for what they did to him, why shouldn't you be able to forgive your brother that may have made you stumble? Amen. Ephesians 4:1. We should have a heart and a love for our brothers and sisters in Christ to the point that we'd stay up all night to minister to them. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We have to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called. Worthy, humble, not prideful. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you can only get born again once. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. See, it was Christ that made the grace available. Christ, which had so much humility, that had so much love for each and every one of us, even though we were not born then, he still endured the awfulness of what the world had to offer. And at the end of it, he still asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to jump down to verse 22. That you, and you can put your name in there, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That mind that Christ within you has given you should be to be out there blessing people, loving people. You know, we can take grace. Oh, we can take grace sometimes to be legalistic, that we can sort of try and put it in a box, but grace is free. Humility is free. But if you're in that old man, you won't see it. You have to be in the new man. And that's where verse 24 takes us. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, if you're not loving your brother, then you are not in your new man. You are not in righteousness. You are not in true holiness. Because if you were, you would love your brother. And if a brother be overtaken in a fault, then you, which is spiritual, should restore him. We have to take this seriously, guys. This is a war, a spiritual war. And no brother or sister should be out there hurting. You love God, then you love your neighbor. And if that neighbor happens to be a brother that's been overtaken in a fault, then you, which are spiritual, should restore that one and all. The new man is humility. We walk worthy in our calling. It's Christ in you. And you have every enablement within you to produce that new man, to be walking in that new man right now. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 10 it says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, the knowledge of God doesn't come from the teachers, whether it's John G. Lake, whether it's
Billy Graham
or whoever. The knowledge comes from God. He is your teacher, and within him, then you'll be fruitful in every good work and you will increase in the knowledge. The knowledge of the world, the knowledge of the book, the knowledge of the teachings that you listen to? No. It says in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The only person we thank is God. God got us to the point where we heard about Romans 10, 9 and 10. God got us to the point where we got born again. Yes, somebody spoke the word to us, and we're very thankful for that. We are very thankful for Jesus Christ for giving up his life for us, who he didn't even know at that time. But he knew that it had to be done. You want to walk in that new man? Then you walk worthy of the Lord and to his pleasing. You want strength? You want power? You want patience and long-suffering and joy? Then give thanks unto our Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, there's no light in darkness unless you switch it on. You want to have the light in you, but if you don't switch that power on, then the light does not shine. So you need to take a stand. And yes, you can be favorable with some people and unfavorable with others, but I would rather be favorable with God and do what God tells me to do. Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God, and cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime, when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, evil speech, backbiting, running someone down. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. See, if you've got something twisting in your heart, then the peace of God can't rule. So you need to address it. You need to sort it out. You need to put it to bed so that the light of Christ can so shine and that peace of God can rule in your heart, to the which you are in one body and you can be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And it goes on. And it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect to persons. I think that says it all. But I want to go back up to verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. See, when we put on that new man, then we are then in that image of him that created him. We have that image of Christ. The Christ that walked out there, his light so shining, just loving people with humility of heart, just wanting to do the will of the Father. And yes, we're going to get our divisions. And yes, we're going to get our backbiters. And yes, we're going to get our people with itching ears. But if we nail this stuff and nip it in the bud before it can take root, then there are rewards for those that take a stand and walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called. And I really implore you to walk in that new man and just see the miracles and the wonders that come to pass. When you got born again, God gave you Holy Spirit. And that Spirit has 9 manifestations. And we want to be walking in all 9. So, bless your hearts.
Oh, that's fantastic, Kim. And, you know, what was coming to my mind when you was teaching, I got really blessed there. You know, when we're walking in newness of life, then we can serve in newness of life. But one thing that stood out to me was Romans 12:10. And what was the scripture you read after that? But don't read it out just yet, find it. In Romans 12:10, let's go back there, because it was really, really wonderful word that I looked up while she was sharing. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate one towards another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. And this preferring means, from Thayer's definition, to go before and show the way, to go before and lead, to go before as a leader. Okay, I thought that was amazing. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honour showing the way. See, as born again children of God, we are leaders, and we can show the way. It's by our example, it's by our lifestyle, it's by putting on that mind of Christ. And what was the next scripture you read?
Galatians 5.
Read it out, please, love. I just thought these would, it just really highlighted to me massively. Galatians 5.
13.
Galatians 5:13, read out to
you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
And what do leaders do? They serve. They don't serve themselves, but they serve those in front of them, that God puts in front of them. And, you know, and one thing, if we're going to move forward and see great things this year, starting from now, we need to be very bold in declaring the truths to people, you know, and to help fine-tune people, because people will stay in their ways, not God's ways, if we're too afraid to say, well, excuse me, that's just not quite right, and I love you enough to show you. Like, you know, who was it that was preaching? Apollos, he was preaching the baptism of what? John. And Priscilla and Aquila pulled him aside and expounded onto him the word of God more perfectly, so that he had a proper understanding. They brought him up today. And so, like, we need to be bold, and we need to encourage people to practice the principles, to go to God, to make him your source of supply, your first port of call. And then we need to look to give, to serve the body, to open our mouths to speak to other people. And right now you can give, and we're going to have manifestations. So this is how we do it, all right? Whoever wants to manifest, 2 or 3 people, okay, we'll open it up on here, and we'll open it up on the internet. whoever wants to manifest, even if all of us do it, whatever. Whatever God's working, if you want to manifest, let's do it now. Let's have manifestations right now.